I'm Brian Carpenter, host of Fresh Air at 5, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Stay tuned because in episode 97, we are talking about building and maintaining positive school culture and climate through effective collaboration and communication. Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Welcome in, everyone, to episode 97 of the Leader of Learning podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're a return listener, welcome back. If you're tuning in for the first time, well, thanks for joining us here in episode 97. I think this is going to be a great one. My guest in this episode, Maria Montroni-Carrize, is an amazing leader, and she had a lot to say when it comes to building and maintaining relationships and a positive school culture, and I really can't wait for you to listen. Before we get there, just a couple of general housekeeping items that I want to address. First off, if you're tuning in to hear a Devil's Advocate episode, I'm sorry to say that we've hit pause on Devil's Advocate for now. The last 5 months or so, we've been running those episodes here at this release date in the middle of each month. But for right now, I'm going to be running just regular Leader of Learning interview style episodes, starting with this one featuring Maria. And you might have also noticed a jump in episode numbers. And I think we went from episode 91 to 97 very quickly, but that's just because I'm now including those Devil's Advocate episodes in my episode count. And that's ever so increasingly important as we approach very soon episode 100 here on Leader of Learning. Again, if you've been tuning in, thank you so much for helping and supporting the show as we have reached or just about reached episode 100 here. And, you know, we've been doing this for the last 3.5 years together, and I really appreciate you and your support. I'm still thinking of a great way for us to celebrate when that 100th episode does get released, so stay tuned for details on that. Thanks again, and without further ado, coming up after these messages will be my interview with Maria Montroni-Carrize. I'm excited to welcome on my guest in this episode, Maria Montroni-Carrize. Maria is currently the Supervisor of Curriculum and Instruction for a pre-K to 8 school district in New Jersey, and we met fairly recently at this point in the Teach Better Teams Mastermind. They call it an administrator mastermind. It's really more of a leadership mastermind, and I've enjoyed talking to Maria quite a bit over the last few months that I've been part of that group, and so I'm glad to have her. And Maria, before we really get going here, if you could kind of do a better job than I just did introducing yourself. I know what you currently do, but kind of how'd you get there and who you are and where you are and what you do.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having me. I call the Mastermind my admin support group because it is my weekly Tuesday morning therapy session. But anyway, I started my career as a French teacher in the district where I grew up. And I quickly figured out that French was not a dying art, but not going to be as career-oriented as I was looking to be. So I moved into ESL, and I got my master's in teaching ESL. And I worked as an ESL teacher in the district where I'm currently a supervisor. I worked there since 2011. And along the way, I got my supervisor certificate in New Jersey and my principal certificate in New Jersey. And now I have the dream job that I didn't even know I wanted. I envisioned myself moving into K-5 principalship. But right now I'm a supervisor of curriculum and instruction, and I couldn't love it any more than I do right now.
I guess then I will take that and run with it. Why do you say it's your dream job, and even though you didn't necessarily set out to do it, that it's I'm putting words in your mouth a little bit, but like that seems to be where you fit and what you really enjoy more than maybe other leadership and admin positions.
It is absolutely multifaceted. So part of the reason is when I moved into this position, I knew the people, I knew the kids, I knew the admin, you know, my current team, and I knew the faculty. So that made my transition really, really smooth. I had built up a reputation for instructional leadership within the building. Being an ESL teacher, I over the course of teaching ESL K-8, I've taught every grade and dabbled in nearly every content area, especially when it comes to making modifications. So in that vein, I had already given myself a leg up in transferring to a role that was more instructionally driven. The curriculum side, I didn't know I was going to love so much, but what I realized very early on, especially moving into a position in 2020, is that curriculum doesn't need to be a document that gets put in a file somewhere and never referenced. And what I've learned is that curriculum should be fluid and it needs to reflect the needs of this year's students, which is always what I preached as an ESL teacher. And I find that so many of the experiences that I had in ESL when it comes to making modifications and supporting students, working with them at the level that they start school, that's what I'm doing in curriculum. So it's just been a really, really natural transition to that part of the job. The part of the job that has not been an easy transition is the evaluatory side, just because I never had experience in it. So that's really the place where I feel like a newbie. I feel like a rookie. I've made some rookie mistakes, but I'm learning from them.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned some of that because I was planning to ask you about the transition from being, like you said, a teacher leader, classroom teacher and stuff like that into an administrative role, especially in 2020. But I can safely say that, in my albeit limited experience with an administrative title, I experienced a lot of the same thing in terms of that struggle where you're new and obviously therefore need to learn new things and become something that you've never been before, but yet you're in now sort of one of the penultimate leadership positions in your building or in your district, and therefore people are looking to you for that leadership, and you can't really say, well, hey, I'm new at this. I mean, you can, but you probably shouldn't. But yet you still are learning. And so like to your point, when it comes to evaluations, when I became an administrator, it was the same thing. As a matter of fact, between me, this was probably one of the best decisions that I was involved in because I don't think the principal I worked for made a lot of great decisions, but I'll leave that out of this. One of the decisions that she made was for me to get my first crack at observing and evaluating a teacher that I had already built up a pretty good relationship with, you know, like one of the few teachers that I probably knew the best in my first, really it was in my first few weeks in the building. And the teacher did a great job, but honestly, the evaluation didn't go so well because the teacher felt like they were perfect, basically, and that they should get all, you know, fours using the Danielson framework. And honestly, like how often does that even happen? And I'm assuming it was because this teacher was used to that before. I won't say what state they came from before they came here, but they came from a different state. I think it was New Jersey. I said I wouldn't say that. I'm just kidding. But no, so this teacher had actually switched states at one point, and I wondered if wherever she came from before just wasn't really evaluating the way that they should have. But anyway, it caused a thing. And like you said, you know, I don't know if I made mistakes, but I definitely learned from that experience. And although it was a little tough to go through, I valued having it and learning from it. So I can definitely agree. Have there been any other positive or negatives to transitioning into this role, especially during whatever your school and district looks like in these COVID times?
Absolutely. I have really taken it upon myself to be a culture leader. And we are fully remote. We've been remote since March. So we have not had kids back in the building. And our teachers are feeling the weight of that, as so many teachers around the country are. But because I know them on a personal, collegial level, I know about their kids and I know about their hobbies and I know about their pets. So I have a little bit of a leg up on, like a pulse on what they want. So I've been able to kind of infiltrate the ranks, right? And bring that information to the admin. I call them my guys because I'm working with a team of guys right now. And I've been able to say, you know, this is what they want. And this is what's going on in so-and-so's home. And they may not know that on a deep level. They may know on a surface level. But because I had those relationships, I can bring that information. So that's been a really, really positive part of it. The other positive has been finding so many like-minded people through social media and through a professional learning network. And I had one as an ESL teacher and as a blogger. So I had that and I knew the positives of it. And it did take me a while to find, but I'm so glad that I have landed where I am and have made the connections that I've made.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this probably way too many times, but I can't say it enough. I think if there's anyone listening right now, and chances are you've taken these steps already, but if there's anyone listening who has not really gotten connected on social media to other educators, like Maria said, you know, like-minded educators, people who may have the same positions as you, may have the same motivations and vision and mission as you, whatever it is, definitely go ahead and get connected. Because, and I've actually spent some time this week talking to some colleagues of mine about doing the same thing. It's just so, so crucial for your own professional growth and development. I wanted to go back to actually something you said a minute ago about how one of the things that you've concentrated on as you've transitioned into this role as an administrator this year is, even during COVID times and whatever school looks like, you still want to maintain a positive culture and really value that culture building piece of what you bring to the table. Please share. You just shared it yesterday, and so I know it's fresh in your mind. Please share with the listeners what you just did for the staff at your school, because I thought that was awesome. And I think that when it comes to that culture building, it's such a great example of how we can keep supporting teachers and valuing the fact that the times are tough right now and they're doing everything that they can do to get us through.
Yes. Well, full disclosure, it was not my original idea. Being part of a professional learning network has me connected with a lot of people. And in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, around like between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I had seen people doing drive-by, like holiday pickups, drive-by like a hot cocoa station. And I thought, oh, we could do that. We have a long driveway at our school. We could do that for staff. So I put it together. I worked with my food service provider at school. They are still working full time because students in New Jersey are entitled to free lunch throughout this. So luckily they were still in the building working, and they were thrilled to be able to put together something for teachers. So I have to give a shout out to my food services manager. She took this idea and ran with it. I said, could we do some sort of like, you know, brown bag lunch or lunchbox pickup? And she sent me back a whole menu. I was able to put together a Google form survey for my teachers. They were able to choose their entree choice, and it came with sides and a drink and chips and a cookie. And then yesterday, she wheeled out this cart to the front of our school, and I stood there along with my vice principal and our superintendent, who's also, we have a superintendent / principal, which is # small school problems. And that's a completely different podcast. So I won't get into that. And we stood there and teachers drove by and they picked up their lunch boxes. And as simple as it sounds to do curbside delivery, the smiles and the joy and, I mean, the tears. I saw somebody yesterday that I hadn't seen since March. You know, in person, I've seen this person on Zoom, and the new cars, people have gotten new cars, and you can see into back seats and who's got a new car seat in their back seat. And it's those little things. And so even through a mask and through a car window, the connection we were able to make was invaluable. And I'm already planning the next one.
Hey, Leader of Learning. We'll be right back with the episode in just 1 minute, but I wanted to talk to you about an amazing new service and supportive platform called Skilled Space. You know, educational technology is a big part of my job as an instructional coach, and it's certainly more essential to good teaching now than it's ever been before. It's also clear that not every teacher is getting the tech help they need, but teachers like you or someone you know still deserve a space to get the coaching they deserve. That's where Skilled Space comes in. The same folks who brought us powerful tools such as Swivel are building a world where you'll never struggle again with EdTech. Skilled Space brings a whole galaxy of skills to your fingertips as a one-stop shop for quick and convenient virtual coaching that's on your terms and within your schedule. And no discount code needed here because it's 100% free. So if you need help or if you want to help others, head over to skilled.space. You know, I know that the planning and organization, the actual undertaking of an event like that was not necessarily a small feat. It required some coordination. But when you say it's so timely that you said that piece about sometimes it's the small things like, you know, seeing and just catching up with people. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I had Ray Porton on, a fellow mastermind member and someone that you and I are both connected to now. And he talked about basically building trust in those small incremental type ways. But I think that what you're saying too is that you can build a school culture and maintain a positive culture. And again, not to get too cliche, but that R word, the relationships, sometimes it's not big actions that people need to take. It's those small things. And right now, because people might not be able to see each other all the time or get together or touch each other or whatever it is, it has to be those small things that are really big things when it comes to maintaining those relationships. You know, it's a little bit different for me. My district, for the most part, has been in person, at least a hybrid schedule this year. A lot of our students, though, are still remote, but it has been really great to at least be in person. Honestly, I don't know if I'd be doing so well if we had been remote since March of what literally is last year at this point. So that's, I would imagine that even for me, if I went through an event like that, it would mean a lot just to know that to get together with people, but definitely just to know that, that people in the building and in the district, you know, want to make sure they value the connectedness of the staff and everybody. So that's really cool. I also wanted to talk to you about, because you mentioned this, and actually before we even hit record, I told you a little bit about my new situation and my new position where I'm going to, for the first time, be working in three different buildings, and communication and coordination is going to be extremely important. I know one of the things that you like to discuss is kind of that collaboration among administrators and leaders in buildings and across buildings. What have you seen as some of the most successful strategies when it comes to that kind of collaboration?
Well, having learned from mistakes, and one of the cliches we use in our admin team is too many cooks in the kitchen, because with remote, a lot of our focus became scheduling. And whereas that had been one person's job in the past, because it now affected all of us in a way, we all had our hands on it. And when you all put your hands on something, inevitably the water gets muddy. So one of the things I've learned and I'm trying to preach and practice is clear is kind. And if you lay out a task or a series of tasks and you stick to it, I'm a big fan of tables and charts. I love to delineate whose task is whose, not in a, you know, militaristic style, but clear is kind.
Clear is kind. I like that. And, you know, I was actually recently featured as a guest on a podcast where I talked about how clear expectations that was a theme that I drew out of my own research that I did for my doctorate, where in order for leaders to help grow the mindsets, like, you know, there's the growth mindset term, of teachers, you need to be really clear. And I think any, like we've already talked about building and maintaining strong relationships, clear as kind is a message that should be adopted and adapted to any relationship when you think about it. But whether it's a teacher with students, you know, and hopefully that's done through things like learning targets and assignments. But definitely when it comes to the leaders in a building, especially when there are a lot of them. I know you're in a small school, a small district. I'm in a very large district. And again, right now, moving into a role where I'm going to be supporting three different buildings with three different administrations, that's something that I'm going to have to keep to heart, which is to really be clear and communicative and collaborative across those three buildings so that we can really carry out the vision that we want to see happen with this new role and this new department.
One of the things that I started doing, because I support teachers K through 8 across all pre-K through 8 across all content areas and subject areas, what I started doing, so let me go back. Not only do I work with the teachers, but I'm building based, but I'm also district based. So I have kind of a dual role. And it, as you were talking about working for three different principals in three different buildings, it kind of, you know, made me think about this. I knew that I needed to be able to answer to the district, but also on like on a macro level, but on a micro level, answer to the teacher. So one of the things I started very, very early on was a newsletter update, and it basically laid out all of the tasks that I'd be working on or groups I'd be working with for that couple of weeks or that couple of months. So in a way, it was to reassure people that, you know, of the priorities for the department, but also so that, again, clear as kind, everyone knew where the goals were going and what our plans were. So it's just a suggestion I have is to kind of state those things and put them out publicly.
I guess I'm just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that. When you say like a newsletter or, you know, to put them out more publicly, how can teachers do that? How can other leaders and administrators do that? A little more specific.
Oh, sure. So I'm actually using the format called S'more. It's a free website, a free like newsletter update template site. And what I do is I work in terms of like must do's and may do's. So at the very top of each newsletter, I have curriculum and instruction must do's. And these are things that teachers across the district absolutely need to work on, whether it's updating the pacing guide. We have like a shared pacing guide so we can all see, you know, what we covered. And it's not for evaluation purposes. It's literally just for data. What did you cover in this marking period? Make a little check mark so that in the summer we can use that to inform next year's curriculum. So I have must-dos. And then following that, I have things sometimes broken down by grade level bands. You know, what I'm getting up to with 3 to 5 this month. Looking ahead for grades 6 through 8, you have PDs coming up in February. Towards the bottom of that, I'll have something like one of our district initiatives is creating benchmark assessments. So I'll have kind of maybe a little blurb about the long range plan for how we're going to get there. So it's all of my tasks broken down into manageable chunks and delivered for the audience, my audience, which is my district and my teacher.
That's great. I'm trying to wrap my head around that a little bit. I think it's an amazing idea. I would imagine that there are probably a lot of leaders out there who would not necessarily be so willing to put out there what they're working on. I know a lot of people do when it comes to like their goals, their like we, you know, in my district or maybe in my state, we have student learning objectives, SLOs as teachers, but building leaders have them as well. And those kind of things get put out there to the staff usually, but not necessarily like, here are the things I'm working on. Here's kind of what's on my professional agenda for, how often do you do it? Like every month?
So like in July and August, I did it once a week because I was new to the position and I just had so much to say. In September and October, I tried not to overwhelm people. So I did it like twice a month. And so far in January, I've already put one out and I'll probably have one to send by the end of next week. So it's definitely not, I'm not holding myself to a schedule, but I'm also not going to send things unless I have enough impetus to send it.
That's really cool. I like that a lot. I mean, I was sending out newsletters as an instructional coach for on behalf of the department, really, and those mainly went to the parents. And I know you said you use S'more. I know that's a really popular newsletter creation tool and all that. I like using Canva for, you know, my podcast graphics and everything, and they have really cool newsletter templates. So I use that to create it. But, you know, we talked about clear is kind, and even communicating what you're working on and the goals that you're working toward as a leader can aid in that mission to make things really clear for everyone. So everyone is really not only on the same page, but very transparent and, dare I say, almost even vulnerable when it comes to this is what I want to do and I'm putting it out there. So not only do I kind of hold myself to that, but everyone else can kind of hold me to that too. I like that idea. I do.
I'll share with you one of our recent newsletters so you can kind of get an idea of what it looks like.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, as we wrap up, I know that in addition to the work that you do in your school and district, you are not only a mastermind member, but you also create some content. So if you could let the listeners know where they can connect with you, where they can find your content, and, you know, just in case they want more ideas about creating and maintaining those the culture and those relationships that you talked about, or maybe sending out the newsletters.
Uh-huh. So you just gave me two possible blog topics. Thank you so much, Dan.
I kind of figured I would. That's cool.
I'm actually going to write those down as soon as we get offline. I have had a blog that was primarily focused on resources and strategies for teaching English language learners since 2013. And you can find that at www.everyonedeservestolearn.com. I'm in the process of, just as I shifted my career, I'm in the process of shifting my writing. So rather than writing for an audience of classroom teachers and English language learner teachers, I'm shifting my audience to administration and people who are in the same boat as I am. And I'm writing what I wish somebody would have written for me. That's always what I write. I try not to reinvent the wheel, but I also try not to regurgitate things, because in my unique position, I was never able to find anything that applied to me, that related to my kids, my needs. So I started writing it, and I'm going to continue writing it.
That's great. You know, I think what you just said means a lot to me, because as selfish as this may sound, I tell people all the time, I'm my number one fan when it comes to this podcast and the content that I create. And the reason I say that is not to sound selfish, but just to say, like, I definitely want to create content that I would have wanted as I was kind of coming up the ranks in leadership, or you know, just traversing my career over the 15 years that I've been in it. And I hope that obviously that resonates with others as well. And I definitely think that your story, both in terms of transitioning into a new administrative role, maintaining and, you know, building and maintaining those relationships and that school culture, and clear is kind, I think it's a really awesome message. So I definitely think that will resonate with listeners just as it does with me as well. So I thank you for that. Thank you so much for your time. And of course, I'll see you around in the mastermind, but I really appreciate the time that you've given us here in this episode.
Thanks for having me, Dan. It was a pleasure.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.